I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. I'm feeling a bit melancholy. I've been working on writing an article about the life of a friend of mine, someone who was the very best friend of my wife. They were very close. He died last year. He was a really remarkable person and a great friend to Belle. They had worked together in the entertainment industry. And he was a really interesting person who did really good and important things in his life. And he's gone. And it's a horrible loss. And it was needless. He died of colon cancer that didn't get treated in time. We noticed that he was not doing well. My wife would call him to go out to dinner, go see a movie, and he always had something else going on, even though he had just retired from his job. We thought he was busy enjoying his retirement, had a lot of things that he'd wanted to do, was finally able to do them. And then he stopped returning calls. I did finally get through to him once, and he didn't sound good. He sounded really bad. I was the last one to talk to him. My wife didn't get that final opportunity. And then we got the phone call. He had passed away. He had been at his sister's house where they were caring for him during his last days. And he was gone. It was a tragic, tragic loss. We went to the funeral, which is held at the Directors Guild, and there were so many people there in the entertainment industry and out. So many people there who valued him and were close friends with him and loved him. And like us, were still in a state of shock that he was gone. I'm still not over it. My wife's still not over it. I know many of his friends are still not over it. Had he gone for the regular checkup that people his age should have, I probably would have caught it in time, but he didn't. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among both men and women in the United States. This year, another 50,000 people will die from it. It is an unpleasant way to die. Fewer people are dying from it than used to be. From 1970 to 2015, we saw a 52% decline in colorectal cancer death rates. It's due to better screening procedures. And some contribution is given, ironically, to the entertainment industry. And sadly for Pierre, who's also in the entertainment industry, it didn't really help him any. What we're talking about is the Katie Couric effect, when she came out and talked about it. And after that, there was the Entertainment Industry Foundation's National Colorectal Cancer Research Alliance and EIF Stand Up to Cancer Division. So the entertainment industry has helped a lot with creating awareness. Once you hit 50, you should get screening. I had scheduled my exam before we even knew about Pierre's situation. My appointment was just a few days after his death, and I had no intention of missing it. I read up on it. Found out as much as I could find. And then went through the procedure, which was trivial. Oh yeah, the stuff you have to drink to clean you out, that's unpleasant. Sitting on the toilet, cleaning yourself out, not a lot of fun. But on the fun scale, it's a hell of a lot more fun than dying of colorectal cancer. They knocked me out with propofol. It was just my first time on that drug. And wow, it's like an on and off switch. Amazing stuff. I had no problems from the procedure. It was relatively easy, and thank God no colon cancer. But here's the good news. Even if you get a diagnosis of colon cancer, it's treatable, and you can beat it in 90% of the cases. Now, here's what I believe. The recommendation is 50. There's too many people dying in their mid to late 40s. I would say 45, get it done. And there are a lot of experts who are starting to say, yeah, maybe that's what we need to do. We're doing better. Two-thirds of people who are 50 or older are getting screened. But that one-third, well, we need to do better. I don't know why that one-third avoids it, but you shouldn't. It's nothing to be afraid of at all. So get it done. Okay, there's something that you should do. Here's something you shouldn't do. And that people aren't really doing, but there's stories saying that they are. You shouldn't snort condoms. I think all of us can kind of figure that one out. There's a story been going around that there's a new trend with teenagers where they're snorting condoms up their nose. Now, this is easy to believe. There's stories of people, and they were true, eating Tide Pods, and the Tide Pod Eating Challenge. These are kind of uniquely American stories, and people all over the world have heard them and go, yeah, Americans are kind of stupid. Yeah, I believe their teenagers would snort condoms, but they're actually not. Okay, it is America. There are some who were stupid enough to do this. Snopes looked into it and said, okay, it's not a trend, it's not a thing, but it is something that anti-sex folks could grab onto. So here's where we think it's coming from. There was a story in the Washington Post about this, too, and they claim that it came from a presentation for parents in San Antonio, Texas. The condom challenge was just part of the presentation titled Dares, Drugs, and Dangerous Teen Trends. The presentation came from Stephen Enriquez, who was a state education specialist, but he didn't say it was a trend. But the way he put it, you could certainly get that, and then that made it on the local news station, and it spread from there. But of course, we always go with the negative stories even when they're not true, and we don't get enough reporting of the positive stories that actually are true. And here's what's true, that teenagers are using condoms, and they're using them properly, at a higher rate than adults. That's something to be talking about. Absolutism fails in sex education. It's the, you know, there's no such thing as safe sex. Just say no, don't have sex. The only safe sex is no sex at all. That kind of nonsense doesn't work. People go out and have sex. And one of the things that I think is actually counterproductive deals with oral sex. Oral sex is much safer than sexual intercourse, hands down. It is safer. Yes, there are still sexually transmitted diseases through this, but in general, it's safer, and you certainly can't get pregnant from it. And actually, one of the major concerns about oral sex, you can get a shot for so that you don't get it. But still, we have sex educators talking about dental dams and condoms for oral sex. Do they work in reducing the transmission of sexual diseases? Absolutely they do. Do people use them? Do people want to use them? Absolutely not. The sad thing is that having oral sex with a condom, it's better than no oral sex at all, but it doesn't compare. It's a different thing. It doesn't feel the same at all. But if a sex partner wants that, I'm more than happy to do that. But the dental dam, it's ridiculous. You gotta hold the stupid thing in place. You can't really provide much sensation to your partner, and you're licking on rubber. It's unpleasant. At least, you know, with a condom, you're sucking on something. It's a little more fun for the person. And what this has led to is women getting a lot less oral sex, being on the receiving end. That really sucks, or maybe that's not the best way to put it, but it's not good. Each and every individual has got to do the research, go to legitimate sites, and weigh the pluses and minuses. Now, I have done that, and I've come down on the side that I would rather give a woman a really great hand job than try to use a dental dam. And most women have no interest in the whole dental dam thing. I've looked at the statistics. Is there some risk? Yeah. Is it enough risk to worry me? Because there's risk in everything. There's risk in getting out into an automobile and getting on the road. You have to look at the level of risk that you're willing to take. And, you know, there's two people involved, so you also have to look at the level of risk they're willing to take. For me, it's within acceptable bounds. Not everyone will come to this conclusion, and each person has to make this decision for themselves. For those who decide that unprotected oral sex is something they do not want to do, there may be a new option. There's a new type of lingerie designed by Melanie Crystal, and the idea is to help women enjoy being on the receiving end of oral sex more. She's called them Laurels, and it's made from thin latex material similar to the material used in condoms. Because it is something that you wear, it removes the need to have to hold some stupid little piece of rubber in place. It is very, very thin and stretchy. It allows for oral and fingerprint penetration, which is something very, very difficult to do with a dental dam, which in the first place was never designed for sexual use, never intended for it. Melanie says that the goal of her company is to allow more women to say yes to oral sex, and that's a good thing. And these can be used for more than just, say, sex, or something you could wear when you're on your period, and you you can still have the sensation of oral sex or something close to it. We'll probably try to get some of these into Evaluate on our Sex in Review site, sexinreview.com. But it certainly looks to be an interesting idea.